Well, thank you very much, Dan Watkins. So we have spent a couple of hours tonight talking about the crisis at the border. And I guess one of the reasons when you think about the crisis at the border is, you know, what is drawing people here? And we don't know how many illegal people there are in the country, whether you want to call them illegal aliens like I do, or migrants, or undocumented immigrants, or whatever you want to call them, okay? Somewhere between 11 and 22 million. That's a lot of folks. We have, when you think about it, a country of about 320, 330 million people. So if you add in another 22 million who are not part of our formal population, that's a significant number. However you describe it, if you say, well, it's part of 320 million, you're talking about what? 7 or 8% of the population who are here, who are walking the streets, driving cars, etc., are illegal. So what's the incentive? Now, people have talked about, well, they're fleeing their countries because their countries are corrupt and there's crime. And I'm sure that is in some cases, in many cases, true. A couple of the callers mentioned the idea that even if you are a small business person in Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador or in certain parts of Mexico, you have to pay corrupt police or you have to pay the cartels because they'll tell you that if you don't, your business could burn down and they will ask for insurance. All that is a way to extort money, obviously. We understand that. However, in New York this week, New York, which is a big state, and the number of illegals in New York is anybody's guess, and it has to be a guess, no doubt about that. They have a big budget, $212 billion. Massachusetts budget, just to put it in perspective, is about $45 billion or so. So they have a budget which is 4 to 5 times bigger than our budget. But they have somehow figured out a way, the legislature and the governor, to fund a program to the amount of $2.1 billion. And what will that program do? That program will offer a one-time payment of up to $15,600 to undocumented immigrants who lost work during the pandemic. Now, this is a huge number, okay? $2.1 billion. It's a huge number to even begin to think about. It is by far, according to the New York Times, the biggest of its kind in the country and a sign of the state's shift towards policies championed by progressive Democrats, okay? Now, the state senator, Jessica Ramos, a Democrat from Queens, is the lead proponent of the fund. And why not? She says, I've met neighbors who have not been able to pay rent or put food on the table or been able to provide their children with a laptop when a public school has not been able to provide one. So she is doing a good job. She is advocating for her constituents. Now, the fact of the matter is that a lot of her constituents might be illegals, but they now will be able to pick up $15,600. I certainly hope it's tax-free. I would hope so, okay? Now, as I said, this excluded workers fund for illegals, is part of the $212 billion budget deal reached this week on Tuesday. Republicans criticized the measure because at this point, there's a lot of New Yorkers who are still struggling. There's a lot of people in Massachusetts who are still struggling. And even some Democrats in swing districts and Long Island, according to the Times, are saying privately that a publicly funded rescue program for people who are not in the country legally could be wielded as a cudgel against them in future elections. I would think so. So, Bruce Geary, never heard of him, but he's described by the Times as a Democratic political consultant, said the question is not, do you help these workers? How do you do it? And how do you structure it in a way where it's defensible in these districts? Workers had made a compelling case that they had been devastated by the pandemic, he said, but some rural and suburban voters might see the payments as an expensive, unfair benefit for non-citizens. Now, can you imagine someone seeing a benefit of $15,600 for illegals as expensive and unfair benefit for non-citizens. Yeah, I see it that way, Mr. Democratic consultant, and I suspect a lot of other people see it that way as well. Now, the New York Fund dwarfs a relief program set up in California. Now, California is the state of, nuts and berries out there, where officials set up a $75 million cash assistance program last year that gave undocumented immigrants a $500 one-time payment on a first-come, first-served basis. That's peanuts. $500. Come on. We're not talking. That's not real money. $500. You got to be in New York. $15,600. How about that, huh? For those of you out there, who are working and paying taxes and doing all the right things, how does this make you feel? How does this make you feel? It doesn't make me feel particularly good. And by the way, as the measure neared approval, about a dozen supporters camped out around a Manhattan church, and they staged a three-week hunger strike that ended on Wednesday because they got what they wanted. We in this country no longer value American citizens who work hard and play by the rules. If you and by the way, it says the warnings of a backlash among voters echoed those that followed the 2019 passage of a state law that allowed undocumented immigrants, illegal aliens, to apply for driver's licenses. No. You say, well, they got to drive. They got to drive because they got to work. Okay. There did not appear to be a detrimental response from voters. In fact, Democrats expanded their majority. So that's the point that a couple of callers raised in the first couple of hours. If the Democrats are giving stuff away in New York and they're expanding their majorities, why should they stop? They're not stupid. But the Times writer here, and I should mention his or her name, two of them, Annie Coryell and Luis Ferrar Cederny. I always like to credit people. They said that the Democrats expanded their majorities. The number would resonate with people saying, why? I struggled through this pandemic. I've followed the rules, I've paid taxes, and done everything I'm supposed to do. Yeah, a lot of people would say that. But at this point, you got to wonder, is that really the way you want to live your lives anymore? Lawmakers involved in the negotiation pushed for a rule that applicants provide an individual identification number, which is used to process tax information for some people who are not eligible for Social Security. Another provision by the fund supporters would have offered the benefit to people who were recently incarcerated. That was ultimately left out of the plan. Oh, that's too bad. But Ms. Ramos, the lawmaker who led the push for the fund, said people recently released from behind bars, like anyone else, who can prove they both lost income and were ineligible to receive a relief, could still qualify for the aid. Well, if you've been in the slammer for the last year, obviously you lost income. How about that? It's perfect. You're in jail. Well, how can you make money in jail? You can't make money in jail, so you've lost your money in jail, and you're eligible. This is just unbelievable. And then the last point before we go to break. How do you prove it? Well, the budget language lists a wide array of documents that workers can use to prove eligibility. Those include driver's licenses. Remember in 2019, give them driver's licenses? It's just you build one brick at a time. Driver's licenses and state-issued identification cards. Hey, wait a second. I thought that most of the Americans can't vote because they don't have ID cards. So you're telling me that illegal immigrants have ID cards, but we can't get ID cards in America? That doesn't make sense to me. Birth certificates and school transcripts, utility bills and bank statements, a letter from an employer, pay stubs, wage statements or wage notices, or a previous W-2 or 1099 tax return. $15,600 in New York for illegal immigrants, undocumented, whatever you want to call them. I would like to hear in the next hour from Americans who work and pay taxes. If you work and you pay taxes, you're eligible to call. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Ladies' line, 617-931-1030. Where does generosity end and abject stupidity begin? I think we have crossed that line. We have crossed the Rubicon. Please join this conversation, because if you don't, this is only going to get worse. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I don't want to think that I'm alone and I'm the only hard-hearted person in Boston or in New England. I suspect there might be a few others who agree with me on this one. I mean, we are stupid, or as we might say, very stupid. Who do we got first? We got Vera in Plymouth. Vera.
Hi, Dan.
This is unbelievable to me. Unbelievable, but this is where we're headed as a country.
I understand some of it, but I can't understand why people who do not speak English, people who haven't been here before, seem to have a roadmap of life put before them and money in their pocket. Not a lot. $15,000 will get you about 7 to 8 months of rent.
Well, when you think about the number of Americans who are facing evictions now, we just turn our back. So, I think what happens, here's what I think happens. I think that the very wealthy people in the country want to make sure that there is a supply of people to clean their houses and cut their lawns.
No. Okay?
Yes, I do.
Dan, please tell me you're lying to me.
I believe that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not believing. No, that's why I'm saying I don't think people in some of the suburban communities, and I live in one of them, are worried about this. I think their attitude is, people will pick the fruit. The cost of vegetables will be less in the store, fruits and vegetables. They get the house cleaned. They get the lawns cut. The people who are getting screwed here are the people at the lower end of the economic ladder, and they don't realize it. I mean, I would rather take $15,600 and give it to every unemployed American.
What about the people who this week were told that the banks are going to put a moratorium on selling properties, second properties? What are they going to do about that? They're rich enough to have two houses, but if they can't sell that second house...
I didn't hear that. I'm not sure. Tell me what you're talking about, because I'm not sure that I heard that.
There's so much property being sold. Houses are going... boom.
Yeah.
That the bank said, we're going to stop mortgages. We're going to stop the sales that you can't sell, and we're going to stop giving out mortgages.
Well, I have not heard that. Where'd you read that?
That was on Glenn Beck.
I don't find him to be particularly credible. I've not seen that anywhere. I would think that anyone who wants to, at this point, it is very much a buyer's market.
It is.
Right.
It's
and
crazy.
And people are getting tremendous amounts of money for their home. So it's I dismiss that one a little bit, to be honest with you, Vera. To be honest with you.
Okay. I was just thinking that is
No. Yeah, I don't want again, that's fake news. Okay. That's just fake news.
Okay.
So you can take that one take that one off the board. Thanks, Vera. We'll talk soon. Have a great night. Good night. Let me go to Hank in New Jersey. Hank, welcome. How are you tonight?
Very good, sir. Yourself?
I'm doing just great. Now, you're in New Jersey, so you're not eligible for this $15,600 kiss. Can you?
Well, I may just have to move over to New York for a couple of weeks just to get, qualified.
I would think because of your proximity, you would be silly not to take advantage of this.
Right. Dad, on a serious note,
yeah.
I remember my parents, my uncles back in the early 50s when we lived in Brooklyn, New York, talked about how Mayor Wagner, they had teams that went to Puerto Rico, South Carolina, Georgia, et cetera, and they educated the people down there as to what's available if they came to New York. They told them where to go, where to sign up for welfare, et cetera. So back from the 50s till now, you created a society that was living off the government, let's say.
Well, at least you, at least there
you, you
well,
is,
at least there you were talking about American citizens. I mean, if they
lived in, it created this thing that we're following. But my question, why now? What makes it so popular now? Why not last year, 10 years ago? Why are the numbers so high now? What's pushing this?
Are you talking about the number of people coming over the border? Is that what you mean?
I mean, they're talking, 17,000 a day? Whatever the numbers are, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, the cartels were there last year or the year before. Why did they push them out then?
Well, it was more difficult because back a year ago, Trump had a deal with the Mexican government. If someone came to the U.S. border, matter of fact, he had the Mexican government stop people from coming through Mexico. I mean, there's an international law that says if you are living in your country and you feel that you're in danger and that your life is in jeopardy and you can become, a migrant, but you have to stop it and claim immigrant status in the next country. You don't have a chance to pick and choose. I mean, can you imagine if the immigrants were coming through from Central America and were coming through Mexico and crossing our border and then heading up to Canada? What do you think Canada's reaction would be?
I agree with you. It's just what's pushing them out, though. In my opinion,
the fact that Trump is no longer there, and that a lot of these deals that were worked out with these Central American companies have gone by the board. And then President Biden, when he was running for office, basically said, hey, I want, we need a surge. I mean, we've played that soundbite here. And I think that people, in south of the border, they're pretty smart. They realize they see an opportunity, the door's open.
Oh, I agree. So listen, from now on, do I have to say I'm Hank from New Jersey, New York, or...
If you get the 15,000, if you can get the 15,000, you then, matter of fact, you should probably call and say you're Hank from New York, because that way, maybe that would be adequate identification. You probably don't have a phony driver's license. You probably don't have a phony birth certificate. You probably don't have any phony papers because you're a law-abiding American citizen. So you're at a disadvantage. But if you tell them you're Hank from New York, and they say to you, how can you prove it? Have them call me, and you'll get the 15K.
That's a deal, guy. That's a deal.
All right. Anything to help you, Hank. All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. We'll take a very quick break. Again, I don't understand why people are not outraged by this. And I also don't understand why people who are American citizens and who have lived here their entire life, and whether or not they're dealing with some form of a disability or whether they're dealing with unemployment, they should be howling on this one, and I don't hear it. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Maybe we as Americans basically have thrown in the towel. If you've thrown in the towel, or if you think what we're doing is really good, feel free to call. If you still want to fight and you want your voice to be heard, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. The ladies' line is 617-931-1030. By the way, one of my sharp-eared listeners pointed out that I misspoke a moment ago, and I did misspeak. He points out to me that it is a seller's market, not a buyer's market, and he is absolutely correct. I spoke incorrectly. The market right now, because the prices are high in the real estate market, at least here in the greater Boston area, if you're a seller, buyers are bidding up prices. Real estate is going through the roof here. And I don't know if it's like this in other parts of the country, but it is a seller's market. I misspoke, and I apologize for that. Let me go to Les in Billerica. Hi, Les. How are you tonight? Thanks for calling in.
Very good. I realize that this whole topic is with New York, but as a Massachusetts citizen,
sure,
and somebody that I just put one through kid through college, and I'm putting another one through, that I think that I pay my taxes. I'm a good citizen in the United States. My son is taking the OCS test after he graduated to do a service to the country. I really think that the that this whole change in our political environment, where because I'm not an immigrant, I am not getting any breaks, and I think it's awful.
Well, you know, it's funny. The folks on the progressive left, when they are arguing for, you know, more progressive policies towards immigration, they will say to people like you and me who were born in this country, well, you're an immigrant, arguing that because you had some forebears who arrived here 1, 2, 3, or 10 generations ago, that makes you an immigrant. Well, I'm not an immigrant. But for this purpose, okay, for this purpose, sign me up for the check in New York for $15,000. It's insane. And politicians, the progressive politicians in this country, have figured it out. They have figured it out that people who pay their taxes like you, people who work for a living, probably don't vote as often. You might be a regular voter, but there's a lot of people who are working two jobs. They're exhausted. They don't vote in primaries, and so they've figured out that it's the advocacy groups who are out there and pushing people to the polls, which is one of the reasons why they want to federalize the elections, which with House won and Senate won, so that states would have no input in how they run elections. The progressives are very smart. They're very smart, and they are achieving what they want to achieve, which is a completely different system of government and a complete different economy in which we will exist. I don't know how much money you make, but you're going to pay more taxes next year. You understand that, I hope.
I do. And the thing is, to make sure my son doesn't graduate with a hellish debt from college, I work 60, 70 hours a week in my first job, and then I do a second job on the weekends to make money so I can lower his burden debt so that when he graduates, he doesn't start off behind the eight ball. And I think it's just disingenuous to have people that aren't citizens of the United States get a break like they do.
Yeah, well, we're the breaks for you. And I'm not trying to patronize you, but I'm speaking to everybody out there like yourself. When I, you know, you hear Joe Biden, well, unless you make $400,000 a year, they can tax everybody who makes over $400,000 a year. They can take every penny away from them. And that's, you know, that's going to do something, but it's not going to solve the problems. And all they're doing is they're saying, well, you know, most people make less than $400,000 a year, so they are playing on our own, what they perceive as our sense of jealousy. Well, but the guy that makes $400,000, it's not going to affect me. Well, it will affect everybody, because when they raise taxes on corporations are going to pass that cost along, and the cost of fuel is going to increase.
Yeah.
So you're going to find everything at the store that you buy is more expensive, and people will be complaining, but this, well, you know, whatever. The Republicans have failed, and the Democrats have filled a vacuum.
I totally agree. I don't feel like I get representation on. I'm not a huge wage earner, and I'm not getting the representation to protect me from paying. You know, I'm going to pay more taxes. I'm paying more in gas. I'm paying more in everything.
Sure,
there's going to be inflation because we're.
You betcha. Oh, that's going to come. And but the good news is this: I don't know how old you are, Les, but if you're on the wrong side of 50, don't worry about inflation, because your kids and your grandkids will be the ones who are going to pay it all. You know, I mean, you know, I'm serious. And that's sad too,
yeah,
because you work so hard to make the playing field level. And, you know, unless your kid wants to basically be a bum and hang downstairs and you know, spend the rest of his life in his parents' cellar, they basically are discouraging people to go out and work hard.
Yeah, that's you know, I have two sons that want to contribute to the economy, and and also to the government, like I said, you know, the OCS test. And my other son wants to go into criminal justice. So I am I'm really, you know, I vote every time, and I really think that that I haven't been represented, you know, and that's what my biggest gripe is.
Well, you're represented on this program. I hope you understand that. And you have a microphone on this program, which I'm more than willing to share with you anytime you want to call. I don't know if you've called me before, but I hope you'll call me again.
I have. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Les. Appreciate the call. Let's go now to Clark in Pennsylvania. This is a man who knows the numbers. Clark, how are you tonight?
Great, Dan, but not really after hearing all this stuff that's going on. And we know how government doesn't talk to each other. So I wonder if New York State will realize that there's going to be double dipping here. Because illegals have already gotten $4.4 billion in the latest stimulus.
Yeah. Do you think that the politicians in New York care about that?
No. Does government care about anything other than themselves? No. We are, when you have 43% of the people that don't have any fish to fry or don't have anything in, you know, to vote for because they're not paying anything,
yeah.
How do you think they're going to go?
Sure.
Whose vote are they going to give it to?
People do people vote? What you're saying is people vote in their own enlightened self-interest. If you don't pay taxes and you're getting freebies from the government, you know,
why,
you're going to vote against
it's
that?
Interesting. It's interesting. If you take 15,006 and you divide it by 2,080 hours, you get $7.50. And it kind of brings it up to the $15 to $20 an hour.
Yeah.
This is the backdoor way of raising the minimum wage,
yeah,
by giving 15.6. I mean, the game of Monopoly that's being played before our eyes and the game of Shakedown that's going on before our eyes is amazing. Georgetown University sold slaves in 1838, now is pledging $100 million.
Well, actually, it was a pretty good deal because I think the Black Lives Matter was looking for $1 billion.
They were looking for $1 billion, so they negotiated it down to.
How about
million.
That? Wouldn't you? Yeah, and hopefully whoever was negotiating got like a 5% cut or something like that. I mean, here's the deal. But think about it for a second, Clark. Okay, who's going to pay that $100 million? Is it going to be the good Jesuits at Georgetown University? No.
You know, of course not. It's like the corporate tax. Who's
going
to pay for it?
What's going to happen is that's going to be passed along in tuition increases. And because Georgetown has a pretty good reputation, I mean,
yes.
You know,
well, I'm sure Georgetown has a nice endowment fund that will also be hit for it. And
right, but they're going to replenish that fund. They're going to increase. They will, look, the bottom line is, do you think they're going to cut tuition and say, oh, we're... Mea culpa. They're going to raise tuition, and you're going to have plenty of parents. Yeah, go ahead.
Colleges are nothing more than bookies. They're bookies, meaning they have the kids that come there.
Yeah.
They tell the kids to get the loan, and then they get paid by the government. They don't lose.
Well, that's true, too. Well, sure. I mean, exactly.
You know.
So eventually Georgetown's not going to pay that $100 million. It's going to be paid by taxpayers. But Georgetown is going to stand there and say, well, we've done the right thing here. I mean, they were selling slaves in the, you know.
1838, yeah. 183 years ago.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, you know, they, I call it America's original sin. And here we have Georgetown University founded by Jesuits.
Yeah.
They were committing the original sin, and they're paying up. But they're really not paying up. It's the students who are going to pay up, and it's the taxpayers who are going to pay up because the students who get loans.
Yeah, we know that there's almost 3 million of bogus Social Security cards that are out there, which allows people to get driver's license, which allow people to probably vote.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about screwed up. Because we don't enforce anything in this country. We know it exists, but there's no enforcement of
anything.
We
don't enforce the border. Why should we enforce any laws?
Yes. Well, look at the DAs. They want everybody out of jail.
Yeah, Kit, is Krasner going to survive down there, by the way, the DA in Philadelphia?
Who the heck knows? I try not to watch Philadelphia news that much. I know that there's some contention down there, that he's on the bad side of what?
There's some Democrats who are running against him to try to knock him out in the primary, and there's an effort underway to get the scant few Republicans in Philadelphia to register, I guess, either as Democrats or Independents so they could vote him out. He's a piece of work. He's a real piece of work, that guy.
He is a real piece of work, exactly. Real quick. Oil last year around this time, if I was pre-buying, was $1.54.
Mm-hmm, sure.
The best price I can find so far is a dollar higher, $2.54.
Oh, you're doing well with $2.54. We're up $2.70s.
Well, that's your current price, yes, but this is looking out. But the guesstimate is looking out that you'll be up to $4 by December.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And guess what? The average person, Joe Biden's going to say, you know whose fault that is? Trump.
our government is terrible. They are just flat out terrible, and I wouldn't be surprised if anything that would happen down in Washington. That's why the barbed wire is still there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that the country has devolved to where we are today. Clark, I love your calls. You know that. You got to call more often. Thank you, as always. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you later, Dan. Have
Thanks,
a good one.
Appreciate it. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I am stunned that I'm not hearing from more women on this one. The ladies' line is 617-931-1030. I'm going to change topics at the top of the hour. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Marcus in New York. Marcus, welcome. Next on Nightside. How are you, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good there. I have a big question here about this illegal alien stuff here.
Yeah.
I'm in my mid-50s here. And I remember back even in the 70s, we had problems with illegal aliens. And starting earnestly with Carter, with the mural, Muriel Boltliff. But after that, Reagan, he allowed amnesty for a bunch of illegal aliens, and we've been going downhill ever since.
Yes, he did. You're right. In 1986-87, there was a big deal whereby they said, okay, there's 2 million people in the country, and we will basically give them a path to citizenship, those 2 million people. But we will never do it again, and we will tighten up the borders. Well, the borders weren't tightened up, and here we are now. The estimation is that there's anywhere between 11 and 22 million illegals in the country.
Yeah, I hear that, but immigration is under the authority of the federal government.
That is correct. Now, yep.
If our country has the cojones since 1898 to send federal troops all over this planet, we can't send people to the border and past the border and have our Army and Marines intercept them in Mexico. Mexico has I'm former military. Mexico has a large military. They could stop them if they want to.
Well, they were stopping. Mexico was, the Trump administration had an agreement with the Mexican government, and they were stopping the immigrants at the Guatemalan, the southern Mexican border. But that's no longer there. I mean, someone mentioned earlier tonight that we should invade. We should send the military into Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala and fight the drug cartels. I don't want to do that. I don't want to send American kids.
No more of that. We had enough of that in Vietnam.
Well, Vietnam look at the Middle East. 20 years. I mean, Vietnam was, what, 8 years,
Well, yeah, we were there a long time. We should use our financial and diplomatic leverage and have the Mexican government and the Honduran government build a sovereign wall, just like we got in Mexico. This infighting between these politicians, they don't care about this country. This country's going to go down the tube. You don't control your borders, you have no nation.
I think we're going down the tubes right now. You're absolutely right. You don't control your borders, you don't have a nation. You are so right, Marcus.
But we need a sovereign wall between Mexico and Honduras, and that rail link that heads north. We can see them on the train.
Yep.
We tell them, get that train, or we're going to take the train tracks out. We take that bridge out in Honduras. We don't play games with them. It's not going to stop, because South America will be here soon.
Yep. Again, I would hope that there could be some diplomatic actions before we got to that point. But I hear the frustration in your voice, and I certainly can appreciate and understand your feeling on it. Marcus, yeah. Whereabouts in New York? I know you called me before. Remind me whereabouts you're located.
I'm about 45 miles north of Buffalo, about there by Lake Ontario.
Woo, you're way up there. My producer, Rob Brooks, just told me, do they have a lockdown going up in Ontario? They've had, I guess, a spike in COVID cases up there. He's telling me that...
Yeah, you can't cross the bridge. You're civilian. Just the commercial truckers, but you can't see your relatives or anything like that.
Oh, man. Tough. Marcus, thanks so much for calling. Thanks for listening. And please feel free to call every once in a while. You're in New York. You're one. This was $2.1 billion of your tax money and the tax money of New Yorkers, which will be siphoned off and given to illegals. $15,600.
I need to apply for that.
Get a new governor. Get a new governor, okay? Thanks, Marcus.
Yes.
Good night. Let's go to Mark. He's down in Richmond, Virginia. Mark, how are you tonight? Thanks for calling in. I don't recall hearing from you before. How are you? Welcome.
Oh, yeah. I have called several times, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia, and so I'm not a first-time caller, and I don't call every night, but I listen to you almost every night.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. What is your take on this?
Well, I'm a construction field engineer, and we have a lot of fine workers coming from, you know, that are up here from Mexico, on Honduras, and Guatemala.
Okay.
And they came in here legally. They got their papers. They got their green card.
That's great.
And they went through the right way to do it, and they're up here working hard and paying taxes. Now, we can't have people from all over the world sneaking up through South America and sneaking up through Mexico and coming in here and then getting handouts to them and a place to live and giving them money. It's just not right for the people that came in here legally.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is the attitude of the workers you mentioned from Honduras and elsewhere? Do they talk about the fact that they did it right? But now there are other people coming behind them who aren't doing it right. Are they supportive of their?
Yes, they're kind of upset. I have talked to a few of them, mm-hmm. and they're kind of upset because they did it legally. They had to pay lawyers,
sure,
to do the proper paperwork to get their green cards, and now people are flooding in here. And a lot of the people coming up here, they don't have any trades or any skills. The people that I work with have good construction skills, concrete skills. They know how to run equipment.
Yeah,
and the guys who
you're working with here who came legally, they're just here on a green card. Do they have to renew that green card?
Some of them are on a green card, and some of them have gotten their green card, and then continue on and hire lawyers to stay here legally.
Sure,
And I have a few of them that have gotten their U.S. Citizenship.
Good for you. Good for them.
It isn't easy to do.
No, I know that, but good for them for doing it the right way. I appreciate very much you making the point that people are still coming from that part of the world who are doing it the right way and are coming here and developing the skills, contributing to the economy, but doing it the right way. And maybe becoming, law-abiding citizens. That's what it's supposed to be all about, Mark.
And you can't just have people flooding in on the border and then throwing kids across the border and then expecting us, the taxpayers, to pay for them. I've been paying taxes a long time, along with everybody else.
Me too.
And I don't appreciate my tax dollars being wasted.
You know, here's my thought is that there's enough Americans out there who could really use some help. There are a lot of people who are living homeless people in the street these days. There's a lot of things we could do with that tax money. Absolutely.
And Biden has shut down the coal industry, and now the pipeline and our price of our fuel has gone up almost $1 a gallon here in the state of Virginia.
Yep.
It is ridiculous. And then I wanted to call, the other night, but my phone wasn't working good enough to get out there. About the taxes going up on the fuel. Oh, I think I did call. you know, that night.
No, I haven't talked to you in a while. You might have tried, but we were busy that night. Hey, Mark, I'm up against my 11 o'clock news break. Call more often. I really appreciated your perspective.
And Biden needs to go outside his border, which is all fenced in around the White House.
Yeah, outside his comfort zone, no doubt. Thanks, Mark. I got to run. We'll talk soon, okay? Appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Coming back on the other side of 11. One more hour of Nightside, everybody.